The date was October 27th, 1993, and the place was Worcester, Massachusetts. There is this unusual story about this elderly woman by the name of Adele Gabbery. One of her brothers had told the police that he believed that she had gone to a nursing home. Her neighbors also believed that. She had been talking about it for quite some time, and believing that, they began watching her property. One neighbor started paying her grandson $10 twice a month to mow the lawn. Another neighbor noticed that the mail wasn't fitting in the mail slot anymore, so he actually went over, opened the door, and found hundreds of pieces of mail. So he notified the police, and the deliveries were stopped. Later, someone else noticed that the house's pipes had frozen, the water was spilling out the door, and so the utility company came and shut off the water. After 4 years, the police finally decided to investigate. They saw the house as a health risk, a hazard, and were shocked to actually find Adele's body inside. And the Washington Post reported that the police believed that she had died of natural causes approximately 4 years previously. See, nobody knew that she had died. Everything seemed normal on the outside. There was a few clues, but for the most part, it was normal. But death lay inside the house, and nobody knew. Well, today I want to look at a second area of Scripture that people see. Well, actually, they don't see most often. They skip over it. They don't like reading these portions. They are part of the boring parts of Scripture. And for some people, there is nothing more boring than the tedious and almost unending regulations that God gives His people in Leviticus. In fact, when most people attempt to read through the Bible, they just skip over Leviticus entirely because there is very few stories in there. And the ones that are there are like a verse or two long before it goes back to, and here are the laws regarding this. And some people have claimed that Leviticus is the most boring book in the entire Bible. But it's not. And I hope to show you this morning that even Leviticus has incredible truth. In the entire New Testament, there is not a single direct quote from the book of Leviticus. Jesus told a man to present himself before the priest to be declared clean, but it's not a direct quote. It's just an idea which is also found in some of the other laws. It's from this book, but it's never quoted anywhere in the New Testament. So Leviticus actually does appear to be a rather boring book. Even Jesus tends to ignore it. But I won't. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And that includes Leviticus. It means that there is a powerful lesson to be learned about God's will for our lives, even in this book of Leviticus. Adele Gabbery died, and no one noticed for years. Everything seemed normal, but death lay on the inside of her house. In contrast to that, Leviticus 14 tells us of a disease that literally turns people into walking dead. You couldn't miss the fact that this person was diseased. Those who had leprosy were dying inside and out, and it was obvious by the disfigurement of their bodies. I searched the internet for pictures of leprosy and decided, no, I can't put that on the screen. It's too graphic. It's too hideous. So let me describe it for you. Leprosy would start with specks on the eyelids and on the palms, and gradually spread over the body. And one of the effects of the disease was that it would destroy the nerve endings of the victims, so they couldn't feel pain. They couldn't realize that they were burning themselves or that they'd broken a bone. And thus they'd end up damaging and destroying parts of their bodies without realizing it. And one of the most common forms of leprosy inflamed the skin. It distorted the face. It distorts the joints. It causes their hair on their head to fall out, the eyebrows to fall off, or turn white. As I looked in the mirror this morning, I thought, But it would often begin on the forehead with shining white patches, which would begin to burst. And from the skin, the disease would eat inward, in towards the bones, rotting the whole body piece by piece. Bone after bone would drop off. It's not uncommon to lose fingers or toes. And the skin would become mummy-like, and the lips would hang down from the mouth, exposing the teeth and the gums. It was a horrible, horrible way to die. Lepers were social outcasts, required to live outside of the camp, unable to take part in the sacrifices offered at the tabernacle. Now, there were lots of other diseases a person could have, but no other disease was treated like leprosy. You could catch a cold, or you could suffer the indignities of the flu and be sneezing all the time and have all that phlegm that you're coughing up, but you were still allowed within the camp. None of those diseases, you could be paralyzed, you could have a heart disease, you could have cancer. None of these diseases would require you to go to a priest to offer sacrifices for your cleansing. Only the lepers were required for this. Only leprosy called for the person who was healed to present themselves to the priest, to shave their heads, to bathe their bodies, to make sacrifices before God. See, leprosy was the only disease that called for the sufferer to come into God's presence and to ask for cleansing. Why? Why would God make such an elaborate ceremony for just a disease? Why didn't He say, if you are diabetic, you need to go and do all of this stuff? I'm grateful He didn't. As a diabetic, that would be... how do I treat this? Why did God make such an elaborate ceremony for just this disease? Well, I think it is because God is using leprosy as an object lesson. He wants us to understand what sin looked like to Him. And that was because sin, like leprosy, is a terrible way to die. Like leprosy, sin deadens us to the pain of our sin. Ephesians chapter 4 describes people who get caught up in their sin. It says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so that as to indulge in every kind of impurity, with a continual lust for more. That is what leprosy does to the body. It doesn't just stop with a small portion. It destroys the whole thing, and it's never, never, ever satiated. It has to keep growing. It has to keep consuming you. And like leprosy, sin starts out like a small spot in our lives, and it spreads throughout our whole being. People say things like, this really isn't an addiction. I just use a small amount for the pleasure I get from it. I can handle the alcohol or the drugs. It's not an addiction. It's not destroying me. They say, she and I are just friends. It's innocent flirtation. A salesman might say, it's just a small thing I have to do, but I have to play it this way to survive in the business world. I had a conversation this week with a person who told me, I know God is asking me to do this, but I can't and I won't. It goes on and on and on. The little compromises grow into big sins until they deaden our conscience. And like leprosy, sin spreads in our lives and it begins to really uglify us. We become so ugly to God. In 1999, Time magazine carried an article about a movie that you may have heard of. It's called American Pie. One of the producers recognized that it's a vulgar film. In fact, it was given an NC-17 rating, and then they changed a few lines so that it wasn't NC-17 anymore. It's now rated R. Apparently, that's a better thing. He recognized how vulgar his film was and said this, and I quote, "I am proud of our film's vulgarity." He was proud of how ugly it is, and apparently there's enough Americans and Canadians and worldwide people who agree with him to make this film quite a cult hit. And just like a leper, people caught up in sin are dying. And they often don't even know it because their hearts have become hardened and they lose all sensitivity to the pain of what they are doing. Their sin starts out small and it grows to the point that it dominates the entire lives. Their sin disfigures them and causes the image of God within to die. It's a horrible way to die. And to reinforce the connection of how leprosy resembles sin, God often uses leprosy as a way of punishing sinners. In the desert, as the people were making their way to the promised land, Miriam insulted her brother Moses, and God struck her with leprosy. King Uzziah was brought down with the disease after he forced his way into the temple and offered a sacrifice that he had no right offering. He had no right to do that. He was not high priest. He was just a king. But he forced his way in there and he offered sacrifice. In the days of the prophet Elijah, a man named Naaman came to him to be healed of the disease. And so Elijah sent him down to the Jordan River to dip himself in it 7 times to be healed of his leprosy. And when he was healed, he returned gratefully to offer Elisha this substantial reward for his help. And Elisha refused the offer and sent him on his way. However, Elisha's servant, he had a servant by the name of Gehazi. He turned after Naaman and he lied to him and he said that his master, Elisha, had reconsidered. He decided to accept the gracious gift that you're giving him of clothing and such so that he could give it to other prophets. And when he returned to Elisha, the prophet rebuked him and said, since he had desired to have the gift from Naaman, he could also fall into that man's disease. And Gehazi was struck with leprosy. Again and again throughout the Old Testament, God identifies leprosy with sin because both were terrible ways to die. But Leviticus 14. Now, Leviticus 14 held a ray of hope. The leper could be healed. If he were healed, then he had an opportunity for cleansing. Now, there's hope. The possibility was common enough that the Jewish temple had a specific area in the court of women dedicated for the healing of lepers. Those who believed that they were healed could come and meet with the priest and bathe in what's called a mikvah. And this ritual, it's a ritual bath, and we'll talk more about the mikvah later. But they were about the same size and depth of a baptistry tank. Okay. Now, I want you to remember that God often used leprosy as an object lesson about sin's effects in our lives. And the message God was sending us in Leviticus 14 is this: sin may disfigure you. It may have destroyed you, destroyed so much of your life, but you can be healed. You can be cleansed, but you have to come to God to get it done. Now, one of the oddities of this text is that it refers, or is that the leper would be healed of his leprosy, but he wasn't cleansed, quote unquote, cleansed of his disease until he came to God and did what was asked of him. And I puzzled over this for quite a while. It occurred to me that there are people in this world who recognize the harm that they've done to themselves and to others. And so they decide to change their lives. They try to undo the damage of their past. They try to become nicer people. And in some ways, they actually succeed in undoing much of what they had done in their lives. But on the inside, there is still this filthy residue. Their souls are still soiled by the reminders of their past. The guilt is still there. The shame is still there. The pain. This is what happened to King David. When David sinned with Bathsheba, he cried out to God and he wrote a psalm, Psalm 51. And he writes these words, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." In verse 7 he says, "Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." David sinned, and he was still overwhelmed by the filthiness of his soul. And he recognized that God would be righteous if he destroyed him. But then David asked God to do something for him. Do what he couldn't do for himself. To cleanse me. To create in me a new heart. To renew a right spirit within me. God, do for me that which I cannot do for myself. And so when the leper was healed, he couldn't do enough to remove the filth of his leprosy. He still had to come to God to receive cleansing. And there's a few things that needed to be done before the leper was clean. First, he had to shave off all of his hair. The leper's hair, if he had any left, had turned white, and it was the mark of decay and death of this illness. It was a sign that he had been walking dead. He was called upon to remove all the connections with the deadness of this disease. And in the same way, we as Christians, we need to decide to remove all of the connections with our dead past. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians in his day, he wrote, "I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, and the futility of their thinking." So you have to shave off all of your hair, that reminder of your past. The second thing is that the leper was required that he wash his body and his clothes, wash everything in the mikveh. Now this mikveh was the ritual bath, and one of the mikvehs was reserved for lepers who believed themselves to be cured. And they were inspected by the priest. And if they were found to be cured, they would purify themselves in the mikveh. They would go in there with their clothes and they would wash themselves. Now, archaeologists have found just outside the south entrance to the temple a large area that has close to 50 mikvehs. And because of the demanding laws requiring purity before entering the holy place, demand was in high for these ritual baths. And they look like this. The ancient one is actually on the south entrance to Jerusalem's temple. This is what a modern one looks like. That one's in Qumran. They took these, their body, and they walked into them. And in essence, in order to be clean from their leprosy, they had to be ritually clean. You can see this truth born in the story of Naaman the leper in 2 Kings. When he came to the prophet to be healed of his leprosy, Elisha instructed him to go down and immerse himself 7 times. And so he went down and he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times after complaining when he saw the river, how filthy it was. I got better rivers like this elsewhere. No, this is what he said. Just go do it. And he did it. He went down to the Jordan and he bathed 7 times, just as Elisha had told him. And his flesh was restored and he became clean like that of a young boy. And so a leper who wanted to come to God cut himself off from all the things of his past. He immersed himself in the water to be cleansed of his disease. And then he was to offer a sacrifice. A sacrifice to God that symbolized the surrender of his life to God. Before all of this, God had the leper take part in the most unusual ceremony in all of the Old Testament. It was a unique sacrifice that was performed only for those who had leprosy. No other sacrifice in the Old Testament is like it. And this ceremony set the stage for everything that was to follow. See, what they did was this. Is they took a jar of water, an earthen jar of water. I know I'm going to go down here. Otherwise, I just don't trust myself. I hope you can see this. Then they took 2 birds. 2 birds. Now, my bird happens to have a little thing of red food dye in it. They took 1 bird and they sacrificed the bird over the water. And as it bled into the water changed color. Then they took that sacrifice and they burnt it. Then they took the 2nd bird with a hyssop, with a cord of scarlet thread. And they took it and they placed it into the blood and the water. And after dipping it in the blood and the water, he took it out and he threw it out. Now, I'm not going to do that. That would make a mess. But he put it in there, covering it with the blood. And I didn't even do a sacrifice, and I got blood all over me. He would lift up that bird out of the blood and out of the water. He would release it into the sky, and it would fly away. And when we accept Christ, we are immersed in his blood. We are in Christ. If we look at this cloth immersed in the water, immersed in the blood, we see that this cloth is no longer white. And I can sit here and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. But it's red. The dye is not just on the cloth, it is in the cloth. And that is just like Christ's blood. It is not just covering us and covering our sins. It penetrates us. The white cloth is in the dye, but the dye is in the cloth. And with Christ as our Savior, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Yet in even this most bizarre ceremony, there's still more to be declared clean because there's need for anointing. Let me read from Leviticus. Then he shall kill the lamb, which is placed where he killed the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as a sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering. And the priest shall put it on the tip of his right ear, and on him who is to be cleansed. And then he shall put some on the right thumb, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his left hand. I'm not doing this part. And then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil of his left hand, and he shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some on the tip of his right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Now Leviticus 14, this is, like I said, one of the most unusual ceremonies. But it gives us a series of procedures for the leper and the priest to go through. And these procedures had to be adhered to in order for the cleansing to take place. See, first the leper offered a lamb for a trespass offering. He was unclean, and yet he was required to come to the temple, to the tabernacle. He was trespassing and had to offer sacrifice for that. The blood of the lamb was then applied to the right ear, the right thumb, and the big toe on the right foot. And after the blood was applied, the anointing oil was applied to the same spot on the ear, the thumb, and the toe. And the ear is symbolic of hearing. As sinners, we refuse to hear God's commandments. We break them continually. Yet as Christians, we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. We keep His commands. And we love and serve one another. It is symbolic of hearing God's call on our life. And the thumb is symbolic of service. You are my brothers. You were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Galatians 5:13. As Christians, we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We use our gifts to serve God. We use our hands to heal and to help others. Our thumb, a symbol of that service. And the toe is symbolic of our walk. As unclean with leprosy of sin, we walk in ways of rebellion, wickedness, and dissension. But when the blood is applied, we renounce the hidden works of the darkness and the immorality, and we walk in paths of righteousness and purity. The anointing is a symbol of the Holy Spirit working in salvation when we are cleansed from our spiritual leprosy, our sin. Just as leprosy moves into the physical body and destroys it, so does the Holy Spirit. But He doesn't destroy. He restores. It was not only the blood of the Lamb that cleansed the leper, but it was the anointing oil, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, restoring him. The Holy Spirit comes to empower our hearing, to empower us for service, to empower us to walk justly, uprightly, in righteousness. And we see the anointing of the leper illustrating the work of the Holy Spirit in redeeming us to God for His pleasure. So, in what some consider to be the most boring book of the Old Testament, of all the Bible, God reveals the ugliness of our sin and the power of His blood to heal and cleanse the damage of our sin in our lives. And he also reveals the anointing of the Spirit to declare that we are clean. We need that leper's anointing. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit within us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we want it said of us as it was said of you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Lord Jesus, anoint us. Pour your Spirit upon your church. Let the anointing which is upon you come and flow down to us, just as the oil that was on Aaron's head flowed into his beard and down his robes to the skirts of his garment. Let your anointing flow down to us, your church. Your word promises that I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fulfill that promise in our lives, in our ministry. Let every bondage of unbelief, every yoke of sin be broken in our lives. You promise that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I believe and I receive that promise right now. And as your church, we ask that you would break any yoke of sin upon us. Cause the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord to rest upon your church this day. I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of his blood. Thank you.